Reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, Chapter 2, continuing with text 2.13. Yesterday we heard how Vishwambhara Mahaprabhu, in his great separation from Krishna, in the mood of Mahabhav, Radharani's Mahabhav, he met Gadadhar Pandit, and he asked Gadadhar Pandit, "Where is Krishna? Where can I find Krishna?" And Gadadhar said, "Krishna's in your heart." And then Vishwambhara tried to rip open his chest with his nails. And then Gadadhar restrained him and solaced Vishwambhara by saying, "Be patient. Krishna will come now." And Mother Sachi, seeing how Gadadhar was very expert in protecting and controlling her son, she thought that Gadadhar should stay always with my son. So she asked Gadadhar. Well, this is the next verse. This is describing some of Sachi Mata's thinking about her son. After seeing this Adbhuta Prem Yoga, seeing the extraordinary symptoms of ecstatic love in her son, the mother Sachi could understand that her son was actually not her son, but some divine, extraordinary being. So she's thinking, Mane bhave aye purusha nara nahi, manushyara nayana ki etad haravahi. Sachi Mata thought, this personality is not an ordinary human being. Can tears flow like that from the eyes of an ordinary human being? Because when Vishwambhara was crying in separation from Krishna, tears would flow from his eyes like rivers, continuously. So this is not ordinary. Someone may weep or cry for a few minutes, but not like that, like the Ganga. Extraordinary. So she's thinking, this Vishwambhara, who I thought was my son, who came from my womb, he certainly must be some uncommon, extraordinary personality. Nahi jani asi jache kona mahashai bhayai prabhura samukha nahi hai. I do not know what great personality has appeared in my family. Frightened in this way, Mother Sachi did not come before the Lord. So this fear, this Adbhuta Prem Yoga, this extraordinary supernatural frame that Vishwambhara was exhibiting created fear in Mother Sachi. Although Mother Yashoda was never afraid of Krishna, and she chased him with a stick to punish him and to bind him, but we see that Mother Sachi was afraid of her son. And she was very frightened, and so much frightened she didn't want to even come before the Lord. It was very, very extraordinary, a mother being afraid of her son. Sarva bhakta gana sandhya samaya haila asya pravura grihe alpe alpe mile. In the evening time, sarva bhakta gana, all the devotees gradually assembled at the Lord's house. Sandhya Samaya Hoile. So we have our Sandhya Arti, which is about now, this time, evening time. So all the devotees gather together in Jagannath Mishra Bhavan to visit Vishwambhara Mahaprabhu. Bhakti Yoga Sahita Je Sabashloka Hai Parite Lagila Shri Mukunda Mahashai. So the great devotee, Shri Mukunda, he began to recite various verses glorifying devotional service. So Bhakti Yoga Sahita. Punyavanta Mukundera Hena Divya Dwani Shunile avishtaha yen. Shunile avishtaha yena dvijamani. That most fortunate Mukunda had such a divine voice that as soon as the crest jewel of Brahmanas heard him, he became absorbed in trance. Punyavanta Mukunda, Divyadwani. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in such a, let's say Vishambhar is in such a fragile state of consciousness that the slightest disturbance will create some words, some shloka, some phrases, it could send him into internal consciousness. Mukunda, his voice is very wonderful. Punyavanta. And when that Dvijamani, when that crest jewel of all Brahmins and Vishambhar heard these sweet shlokas glorifying Bhakti Yoga, then it says, Avishta Hayena. Avishta, he went into trance. When the devotees are describing and commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam, they often ask the question, Radharani is the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna, and all the gopis are described, at least the gopis are described, in Dasama Skanda, but nowhere do we see, so many devotees are mentioned and named in Srimad Bhagavatam, but we don't find the name of Radha. Radharani's name is not there. So then they ask, why is that? Why is that? Shriya Shuka Uvacha. Shuka Uvacha. Shukadeva Goswami is the Shuka. Shuk means Tota. Tota means parrot. And Shriya means belonging to Shri. Shriya Shuka Uvacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said. And so many verses are there, introduced like this. So the commentators are saying that this phrase, Shriya, indicates that parrot that belongs to Radharani. As we can see in Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna Bhavanamrita, Krishnanika Kumudi, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, other scriptures, we can see that describes that Krishna has different pets. He has a pet cow and bull and deer and peacock, elephant, parrots, and Radharani also has pets, pet swan, a pet peacock, a pet parrot, a pet calf, baby cow. So she has also parrots, and their parrots have names like Manjubhashini or Duck, Shukshmadi, and Manjubhashini. So one of those parrots came into Krishna, into this Leela. One of those parrots was born as Shukadeva Goswami. Very interesting. As it says that when this parrot was ordered by Radha and Krishna, you stay here in this world and you tell about our pastimes. This is in Brahma Vivart Puran. So in Brahma Vivart Puran, it says that this parrot, when the mother of Shukadeva Goswami is Satyavati, I get confused sometimes, Vyasadeva's wife, Satyavati, that was Parasara. Parasara is Satyavati, then they had Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva is maybe Padmavati or something. But his wife, she was yawning. The wife of Vyasadeva was yawning one day. And when she was yawning, then Radharani's parrot entered her mouth. And she swallowed the parrot. It means Tota. You say Tota. You know Tota? And then she became pregnant. And she gave birth to a son. And that son's name was Shukadeva Goswami. Shuka means parrot. So now, Shukadeva, when he would speak the Bhagavatam, if he was to mention the name of Radharani, because Radharani is Ishta Devata. Radharani is his beloved from before, previous form. He would go on Avishta Chitta. Avishta Chitta. His consciousness, he would become, as is mentioned here, it says, Sunile Avishta Hayena Dvijamani, verse 217, says that Mahaprabhu became absorbed in trance. So this would happen if, by chance, Shukadeva were to mention directly the word Radha, Radha, then he would lose it. He would go into trance. And they say that trance would last for weeks. We have the phenomenon in the medical field of something called coma. Maybe you've heard. Someone gets an accident and they go in coma. There's some life symptoms are there, but they're supremely suppressed. And they may be even being maintained by some artificial life support systems, breathing apparatus and feeding through the nose. They say they're alive, but they're in coma. You've heard this? Coma? Sometimes 1 week, 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months. So this type of trance, you could say, non-action, no speaking, no interaction, no social intercourse. So this would happen to Shukadeva. If he said, he was describing to Parikshit about the Radharani, he said, yes, the gopis were there in the Rasa dance, then Krishna left with Radha, and then Radha asked Krishna to carry him wherever he wanted to go. And then Krishna bent down and Radharani got on his shoulder. As soon as Shukadeva was to mention the name Radha, then he would go in trance. He would go in coma for 6 months. Now what would happen to Parikshit? Huh? He'd be finished. He only had 7 days to live. And the doctor is in trance. The doctor's in trance. You come to the doctor's office and he goes in trance. Hey, come on, where's my shot? You can't do anything. He's in trance. So that's what happened. Mukunda was reciting some verses, simply glorifying Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga Sahita. Sahit. And then he's not talking about Rasa Leela. He's not talking about the beauty of Krishna Rupam, Sundari Rupam. He's simply talking about Bhakti Yoga. Lord Chaitanya's hearing these and goes into trance. Such a fragile state of consciousness. Text 218. Hari Bola Bhali Prabhu Lagila Gajite Chaturdike Porekeha Napore Darite. Vishwambara began to loudly cry out, Hari Bol! He then fell on the ground in one side and the other side in all of four directions. No one could restrain him or hold on to him. Napare Darite. Like we have Dharana, right? Dharana means to hold. So he's gone into ecstasy. Trasa hasa kampasweta pulaka garjan ekabari sarvabhava mdila tarashan. All transformations of ecstatic love, like fear, laughter, shivering, perspiring, hair standing on end, and thundering voice simultaneously manifested in his body. So some of these trasa, hasa, kampa, some are swayed, pulak, these are sattvic bhavs, and the other ones laughing, these are anubhavs or vyavachari bhavs. And this purport is there. The gravity and most exalted position of Srimati Radhika, who bewilders Krishna, and who is the ultimate shelter of those who have taken refuge of the conjugal ras, are superior to all. The anubhavas, sattvic bhavas, and vyavachari or sanchari bhavas simultaneously and fully manifest in her heart for the pleasure of Krishna's senses. Therefore, it is not at all astonishing that these bhavas will simultaneously manifest in the heart of the Lord, who is absorbed in the mood of Srimati Radhika. So this is Vishwambar. Krishna has taken the form of Chaitanya to relish Radharani's bhava, all her different bhavas. Ultimately Mahabhava. But this Mahabhava, which is an expression of the deepest, most profound love, is the result of all these combining together. Apurva dekhiya suke gaya bhaktagan ishvara prema veshe nahi samvaran. On seeing this unique manifestation, the devotees sang in great joy. The loving sentiments of the Lord could not be checked. Prema vesh, ishvara prema vesha nahi samvaran. Samvaran means controlled. Ishvara Premavesh. So he was Ishvara. The Lord was absorbed. Premavesh. Absorbed in Prem. Dekeya Suke Gai. Bhaktagan. So all the devotees began singing, rejoicing. They were rejoicing over his attainment, rejoicing over his advancement, rejoicing over the wonderful symptoms of ecstatic love that he was displaying. It's quite opposite our situation. If we see someone advancing, do we rejoice? We become envious. Oh, he's going ahead of me. He's getting bigger than me. He's learning more shlokas than me. Oh, we join together. Now he's giving such good classes. He's playing mridanga. He's leading kirtan. And I'm nowhere. I'm still singing like a frog. And can't play mridanga. Now he's number one sankirtan devotee. What is this? I'm from Mauritius. He's from Mauritius. How he got ahead of me? I should be number one. It's like this. This is called Matsarya. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it tells who the Bhagavatam is not for. The Bhagavatam is not for fish. You know fish? Mean people. Fish people. Mean avatar, right? Mean. Or much, what do you say? Much. Muchly? That's Hindi, is muchly. Sanskrit is mean. Keshava Drita Meena Shadira. Mean. Fish avatar. So the Bhagavatam is not for fishy people. Paramo Nirmatsarya Satam. Nirmatsarya. I heard the description. I think I told once before. It's very interesting. It says Nirmatsarya. The Bhagavatam is not. The Srimad Bhagavatam is for Paramahamsas. Not. It's Nirmatsarya. Matsarya is translated from Sanskrit. Matsarya means envy. Matsarya. So Nirmatsarya. One must be free from envy. Like we say, Nirupadi. Nirupadi means free from upadis. Nirupadi. Nirupadi prem. Nirapeksha. So this is Nirmatsarya. So one acharya is explaining, actually this Matsarya, this Sanskrit word Matsarya, comes from Matsya. Matsya avatar. Matsya avatar means fish. So Nirmatsarya means free from envy. So what is the connection between fish and envy? This is the connection. If you're a big fish swimming around in the Yamuna, and then the little fish is born and he starts growing up, he's getting bigger and bigger, he starts swimming pretty fast and getting bigger, and then he maybe starts collecting, he starts a school because they have a school of fish. You must have heard school of fish. So then this fish starts his school, and many fish enroll in that school, and you're thinking, oh, wait a minute, this is a new fish, and I'm the big fish here, and I've been running this place for a long time, and I have my school of fish, my fish school, and now he's challenging me. So then what happens? The big fish eats the little fish. You heard this? Big fish eats the little fish. It's literal. We use it in a figurative way. The big guy eliminates the small guy. The powerful person tramples over the weaker person, lords it over through politics, through diplomacy, through money, through power, whatever. But this is a fact, that the big fish eats the little fish. So this is what envy means. Envy means you see someone getting big, you want to destroy them. They should be eliminated. If you could swallow them up and finish them, that would be best. But at least you can think badly about them. And at least you can speak badly about them as much as you can. And that way you can feel satisfied you're trying to control them and keep them down. So this is Matsarya. Paramo Nirmatsarya Satam. Satam. The sadhus that speak truth, they're free. Those that are free from envy, those that are truthful and free from envy and don't want to put anyone down, they can have access to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, that's just kind of a side point. But what's happening here is the devotees, when they see Bhaktagan, when they see Apurva Dekhya, Apurva means, the word Apurva means unprecedented. We say in English, unprecedented. Never before seen. Apurva. Apurva Dekiya. Say, oh, this is so wonderful. The Lord is exhibiting Vyavachari bhavs and Sattvic bhavs, crying and trembling. And he's fainting. He's such deeply absorbed and ecstatic symptoms. This is wonderful. And they start singing and rejoicing. Joy to the world. One of our Nimai Pandit, because there's Gadadhar Pandit, Mukunda Pandit, so many Pandits are there. They're all Brahmins. There's a community of Brahmins. And they're thinking, they're not, at this juncture, they're not aware that he's God. They think he went to Gaya, he did his Shraddh ceremony for his father in Gaya. He got Diksha, Vaishnav Diksha from Ishwarapuri. He came back to Mayapur. He closed his school. He started a little Harinam Sankirtan. Now he's going to join us. But look how much deeply advanced he is. He simply hears any discussion of Bhakti Yoga or any word or mention of Krishna's name and immediately is in trance. This is very wonderful, very joyful. So this is the Bhaktagan. The society of devotees are very happy to see someone advancing. They sing about, oh look, glories, he's advanced. One of our Mrishan devotees has become number one in Sankirtan. Isn't it glorious? Isn't this wonderful? He will save our whole country. Or whatever. So this is a nice... This is something we can draw for ourselves. Because Chaitanya Bhagavat specializes in something. Do you know what the Chaitanya Bhagavat specializes in? Anyone know? Anyone ever read it? Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat specializes in sadachar. It specializes in sadachar. Sadachar means the behavior of the sats, the behavior of the eternal persons, those that live with eternity, those that serve eternity, those that are striving for eternity. Sadachar, that behavior that will lead one to God. Vaishnav sadachar, Vaishnav behavior, Vaishnav decorum. How do Vaishnavas feel? How do they act? How do they interact? How do they receive one another? How do they deal with the world? So these things are so much brought out in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat creates the heart of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it molds the intelligence. It molds the intelligence and the mind. Because so much tattva is there, so much philosophy is there. Chaitanya Charitamrita. So they go very well together. Mind and heart. Mind and heart. We need both. If you're all mind and no heart, you won't have too many friends. If you're all heart and no mind, then you'll be like a crazy person. So we need heart and mind. Vaishnav heart and Vaishnav mind. So we get Vaishnav heart by studying and following the teachings of Chaitanya Bhagavat. We get Vaishnav mind, Gaudiya Vaishnava mind, by studying and following the teachings as much as we can follow or understand the teachings of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sarvanisha Jaya Jena Muhurteka Prai Pravateva Katanchit Prabhu Bhayapai. The entire night passed like a moment. In the morning, the Lord seemed to regain some external consciousness. So apparently, everyone stayed up the whole night. Lord Chaitanya was in trance, avishta chitta, and all the devotees were singing, dancing in the home. Whose house it was? It was his own house, Jagannath Mishra's house. Mukunda was singing. Sri Mukunda was singing and the other devotees were singing. The Lord was in trance. Prabhate. It says that they met at Sandhya. The verse said Sandhya. Sandhya means a juncture between day and night. We have Sandhyartik, right? Kiva jayo jayo gora chandi aroti kashoba janavitata vane jagamana loba. So in Shiva Sangam, every evening they have this arti, right around sunset time. So from sunset to Prabhate. Prabhate means sunrise. Prabha. Krishna says in Gita, Prabhasmi Shashi Suryayo. Prabhasmi Shashi Suryo. He says, I am the Prabha. I am the light of the sun and the moon. Shashi means moon and Surya means sun. So here it says Prabhate. So from 6 o'clock in the evening in Jagannath Mishra's house until 6 o'clock in the morning, from Sandhya to Prabhate, from 6 o'clock in the evening till 6 o'clock in the morning, Lord Chaitanya was in trance. That's a long time. We're also in trance. And when are we in trance? 10 o'clock at night till 4 o'clock, right? 10 o'clock at night till 4 in the morning, we're in trance, or sometimes longer for some people. So we're in trance. The whole idea, when we read Shastra, we should become involved. Firstly, we should be well rested. Because if you're not well rested, when you read Shastra, what will happen? You will become well rested. You will rest very well. If you're not well rested when you approach the Shastra, then you will rest very well by reading the Shastra, because you will fall asleep. But actually, as we mentioned this morning about approaching Shastra, requires faith and also the submission to hear, but also involvement. Are you into it? You go to a party and your friend says, let's go to this party, it's a dance party. And you're thinking, first of all, I don't know how to dance. Second of all, I don't like to dance. Music, okay, I like. But I know if I go there, they're going to force me to dance and I'll make a fool of myself. So I'm very hesitant to go. So in this way, you're not very much involved or very much excited about the proposal of going to a dance party. But if you're a dancer and you like to dance, then this is an opportunity for you to show off how good a dancer you are and to get recognition, and everyone will look at you, this and that. So you'll be enthusiastic to go. You'll be very much excited about going to the dance. And you'll really get a lot out of it when you go there. You'll enjoy it. They'll say, oh, you had a good time. Oh yeah, I had a good time. So this is the whole thing of Shastra. When we approach Shastra, it's not like, oh my God, we have to read this book. I have to read this book. Oh, they told me I have to read this book. There's no utsaha there. Utsaha is a principle that should act everywhere. Utsaha nischaya dharya. This is a principle, Rupa Goswami. It's a devotional principle. And we understand what it means to be utsaha. We know what it means to be enthusiastic. At least 3 times a day, we know what it means to be enthusiastic. Right? Sharira vidyajal jotendriya teheka. Because 3 times a day we eat. And we eat very, very enthusiastically. And also we sleep very enthusiastically. I forgot that. We also sleep very enthusiastically. But do we chant enthusiastically? Do we read enthusiastically? Do we associate enthusiastically? Do we serve enthusiastically? Well, you can ask yourself. So we're discussing reading, approaching the Shastra. So we should approach the Shastra with desire for involvement. This is the word we're using, involvement. We should become involved. What Shastra am I reading? When was this written? What is the time period? Who, what, when, where, why, and how? Who is acting here? Who are the actors? Who are the actresses? Who is the Nayaka and Nayak? What is the scene? Where is it going on? Is it Vrindavan? Is it Mayapur? Is it Shantipur? Is it Puri? What are the environment? What are the Udipans? The Ganga is there. And then you envision the Ganga. And then there's so many coconut trees and so many tropical golden champak trees and so many flowers there and cuckoos there and peacocks. And if you've ever been to Mayapur or Navadvip, then you bring that into your mind. Oh, now I'm reading Chaitanya Bhagavat, and this is Navadvip Leela, Madhyakanda. And it's not ancient history, it's now time, right now. There's no such thing as ancient history in the Aprakrit Dham. In the Aprakrita Vastu, it's all eternal now. Aprakrit. Aprakrita Vastu means eternal substance. It's not prakriti. It's not this lokik. It's alokik. It is transcendental. is a Prakritavastu. It's ever existing. It has no past, it has no future, it is ever present, eternal present. Nitya Lila, Nitya Dham, Nitya Nam, Nityananda. So this is the approach that this Lila that I'm going to read about these teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and these Lilas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are mixed with tattva vichara. I will have to consider the tattva. I will have to be receptive to the truth and the teachings and the knowledge and philosophy that's coming to me through this reading. Now I will have to be receptive to the ras and the bhav and the lila, the pastime. And I should be enthusiastically receive it and enthusiastically approach it by preparing myself. Oh, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Well, now I'm getting, they used to have these shows when we were children called Time Capsule. So now you get in a time capsule and you go to another time and another place. And they would have a whole, it's called flashback. In the movies, sometimes they have a flashback. It's called flashback. A guy and a girl are sitting in a car by the ocean or something. And he says, remember when we were in high school? Long ago, 20 years ago, when we were in high school. Oh yes, and all of a sudden there's a flashback and they're in high school and it's called flashback. You must have seen in movies. So when we go, we should think, oh, we're flashing back. We're going to go into a flashback. We're going, but it's not really a flashback. We're going to eternal reality. What we're living now is a dream. We're going to leave the dream of Delhi. Delhi is a dream. D for dream, D for Delhi. So we're going to leave what we consider to be concrete reality, which is nothing but a dream, and we're going to enter the eternal present. The eternal present is a Prakrit Dham. Chit Dham. It's called Chit Dham, the Dham of consciousness, the abode of consciousness, the spiritual world. Gaur Lila, Krishna Lila, Ram Lila. This is the idea. So then when we have this concept, when we implement this concept of involvement, then we get into it. We really get into it. Oh, now I'm going up to Himalayas, to Badrik Ashram, on the banks of the Saraswati. The Saraswati is still there, it's flowing. And the Ganga is there. And Vyasa's hermitage is there. Now I'm sitting on the banks, there's beautiful rivers flowing here. And Maitreya Muni is sitting there, and Vidura is there. And I'm also sitting there, listening to this divine conversation. This is called involvement. And this is depends on how much utsaha we have, how much we want to be involved, how much we embrace these shastras, we want to enter these shastras, because these shastras are all about our ishtadev, and they're all about our ishtadham. This is the dham. We are going to Brajadham, Sri Dham Vrindavan. So we're going to Gauradham. We have a Sarupan Gauradham, a Sarupan Krishnadham, Sri Dham Vrindavan. So this, we will enter this Aprakrit Dham. We will enter the spiritual world. So let's get ready. Let's get familiar with the terrain. Terrain means the landscape, the area. Let's get familiar. It's not like, oh, what are these books? These books, well, what is the relevance to me? This is a question people say. What is the relevance? It's irrelevant. Someone says, oh, this is irrelevant. This Vedic knowledge is mythology. It's irrelevant to today's world. This is a great fallacy, great misnomer. For us as Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as devotees, everything is so relevant. So as we get involved, as we try to see the scene, there's Mukunda and they're staying up all night. We look deeply at each word and see, oh, it's Sandhya. They went there at 6 o'clock at night. The Lord's in trance until Prabhate, till 6 a.m. in the morning. What does that mean? That means 12 hours in trance. Get involved. What is it saying? Consider the time factor, the time, the place, the circumstance. Kala Desha Patra. Who's speaking? Who's hearing? What's happening? And how is it happening? What is the meaning? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to them? What does it mean to the world? It's called involvement. Wake up, tune in, drop, what is it? Drop out, tune in, turn on, or whatever. So wake up. Get involved with the Shastra. There's nothing more ecstatic than these Rasa Shastras. Chaitanya Bhagavat and Srimad Bhagavat. Vyasa wrote the Srimad Bhagavat and Vyasa wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's the same Vyasa day. Vrindavanas Thakur is the same. These are very wonderful Shastras and they're so deep. You can So this, we are giving you some indication of how to improve our sadhana bhakti. Because the shastras are alive, they're living. We say a prakriti vastu, it means it's a prakriti, means it's transcendental, but it's also living. It's chit, chit vastu. Chit means consciousness. The shastras are alive. They're not dead. It's not a dictionary. It's not a geography book. It's not a biology book, computer science book. This is all dead. This is dead matter. This is achit. This is achit vastu. This is dead matter. It is not consciousness. But the shastras are living consciousness. They're living consciousness. And they're transcendental. And as I mentioned, they're eternal present. We once said, we were speaking about Delhi, D for Delhi, D for dream. Our one friend named Barki Friend, he once said, I often quote, which I like very much, someone told him about a dream they had in Vrindavan about Guruji and about disciples, and they were discussing some verses from Radharasuda Nidhi in a dream. It's a good dream. It's a very good dream. So they revealed the dream to the Guru. And the Guru said, yes, you should understand that in Vrindavan, dreams are reality. And outside of Vrindavan, reality is a dream. Therefore, Delhi is a dream. So leave the dream and enter the reality. Wake up. Utishtata, utishtata, prapyan varon nibhodata. Prapyan varon nibhodata. You've attained human life now. Jeev jago, jeev jago. Uto, uto. Wake up. Wake up to this spiritual reality of the Shastra. Enter the eternal realm. The eternal world is in the pages of the Bhagavatam. The eternal world is in the pages of Chaitanya Bhagavat. These are the eternal personalities. This is the eternal, this is reality. Reality is that which ever exists. Something is real, exists forever. This is the meaning of reality. It exists forever. Anything that comes and goes, whether it comes and goes for 60 years like our body, or it comes and goes for 5 minutes like a dream, it is not reality. How can you say it's reality? It comes and it goes. It's just a passing moment. It's a fluctuation of prakriti. But this reality is eternal. Sat-chit ananda. So in the morning, the Lord appeared to regain some external consciousness. E matta nija grihe sri sachi nandhan niravadi nishidishi karina kirtan. In this way, Sachinandan every day performed kirtan in his own house throughout the day and night. Niravadi nishidishi, nishidishi karina kirtan. So nishakal, we have nishalila, nishant lila, Nikunja Bhanjana, like we have Aparad Bhanjana, Nikunja Bhanjana Kirtan. So it's Nishi Leela is 1048 at night. And 1048 at night until 3:36 in the morning. This is Nishikal. Sometimes they say Ratri. You may be more familiar with this term. It's Hindi term, Ratri. Ratri Leela or Nishi Leela. So it's Niravadi Nishidishi Karina Kirtan. Throughout the day and the night. So this is what we call akanda kirtan, unbroken kirtan, no break, no akanda, akanda kirtan. So now the kirtan movement is starting. These are the initial descriptions of the sankirtan movement. Puram vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtan. So it began at home. The revolution began at home. Just like Karl Marx wrote a book called Communist Manifesto in 1917. Where did he write it? Did he write it in Russia? No. He wrote it in London. Karl Marx is a German philosopher, and he had this idea of communism. So he wrote it in a book and published it in 1917. He was living in London. And then these people in Russia, they picked up the book and got the idea, and then they threw out the Tsar of Russia. Anyone's Russian must know. Some Russian devotees? Anyone? They know the history. So this Russian, this communist philosophy, which is now going on in Navadvip, in West Bengal. West Bengal is a some type of Indianized communism, which is, I don't think is very pure form. It's knuckly communism. But the original communism was created as an idea or a concept, a political concept or a social concept, with the state in the center and for benefiting all the people in 1917. In 1987, in one way, it kind of fell apart. It was a very short-lived philosophy. 1917 to 1987, they had Glasnost, whatever it's called. Gorbachev. Reformation. I think you know this history, no? So that was 70 years. But how long has Varnashram Dharma been going on? 7,000 years? 7 million years? Sanatan Dharma, the Sanatan Dharma philosophy, the philosophy and culture of India, is it going on for 70 years only? 700? 7,000? Because it wasn't written by Karl Marx. That's the difference. Narayan himself is breathing. So in this way, Arambila Mahaprabhu Kirtana Prakash Sakala Bhaktera Dukkha Haya Dekinash. Mahaprabhu began Aramba is the same as Hindi. Aramba means to begin. Arambila Mahaprabhu Kirtana Prakash. He inaugurated the performance of Kirtan. Sakala Bhaktir Samabhakta, Sakala Bhaktir Dukkha. As a result, all the devotees' distress was mitigated. Haya Deki Nash. No one could see Deki Nash. You could not see because it was destroyed. They could see that their distress was destroyed. How was it destroyed? By Krishna Kirtan. So what can we draw from this? You're in distress? You have some dukkha, some anxiety, some tension, some alienation, some hankering, some disturbance in your mind, your heart. What is the panacea? What is the medicine? Krishna Kirtan. Stay up all night. And Nishi Dishi Karena Kirtan. You pick the next Ekadasi. This is told by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, if you want to renew your taste or regain a taste in Krishna Bhakti, then stay up all night on Ekadasi and in the association of devotees honoring Hari Vasara. Then Hari will live in you. This is the day when Hari looks for a house. Vasa means house. Vas. Residence, house. So Hari looks for somewhere to stay. For 28 days he's fine, but 2 days he gets kicked out. 2 days of the month he gets kicked out of his house. And it's called Hari Vasara. Or Ekadasi. Then he looks for somewhere to live. He's look, because his wife threw him out. Sometimes it happens. Wife throws you out of the house. And you have to go live with your brother or rent a flat somewhere. So Lakshmi throws out Hari. And he looks for somewhere to stay. So he says, oh, someone is staying up all night doing jagaran. And they're chanting and dancing. This looks like a good place for me to stay. I should stay here. I should stay in the house of this devotee's heart. Govinda Vishram. I should move here. I should stay here. Because he's observing this Ekadasi enthusiastically. Not sleeping in the corner. Sometimes we try to do jagaran and we just find a nice comfy corner. Nice comfy corner and slide into the corner. And sleep off the night. And then the next day we're very proud to tell everyone, oh, I did jagaran. And then someone says, yes, I have a movie of your jagaran. On my cell phone my friend took a picture of your jagaran. And it's on internet. You're sleeping in the corner. So this is a very happy moment for everyone. This is Kirtan Prakash. Kirtan Prakash Dukkha Nash. You see, this is a nice Bengali poetry. Kirtan Prakash Dukkha Haya Nash. So you want to nash your dukkha? Nash your dukkha? Duke it out? You want to duke it out with your dukkha? Then Kirtan Prakash. Manifest the Kirtan. Get your tongue in gear. Start chanting Hare Krishna. So he started in his house. So this is very nice. He's a grihastha. He's married to Vishnupriya. And he started a kirtan in his house. And as anyone who has a house knows, there's lots of dukkha inside a house. A house of horrors. There's many unhappiness, so much unhappiness packed up inside a house. Children have their unhappiness, wife, husband. It's not a blissful abode. It's not Anandam. It's not Vrindavan. Anandam. They have these guest houses called Anand, was it? Anand Krishna Dham. So you can't say that our house is Anand Krishna Dham. It's Niranand. Niranand Gupta Dham. Niranand Agarwal Dham. Right? There's no bliss there. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also teaching. Yes, look, I'm a grihastha. I'm married to Vishnupriya. And look what I'm doing. I started Arambila. Arambila Kirtan Prakash. Sarva Dukkha Nash. So you want to destroy all the unhappiness in your house? Then fill the airwaves with the holy name. Get your children. You actually, practically you can see. Because the itinerant preachers in the Krishna Conscious Movement, they have a lot of experience of going to people's houses and initiating programs, especially our Mahavishnu Swami from Gujarat. He's called this Mangal Arti program, where he meets the grihasthas and he says, what time do you get up? Well, first he says, you have Mangal Arti? Oh, Swamiji, we don't get up till 7 o'clock. That's standard time. Bombay, Pune, Delhi. Standard time grihasthas get up is 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock in the winter, then they become Mahayogis in the summer and get up at 6. They become Mahayogis in the summer and get up at 6:30. Oh, Mahayogi. So he says, so they say, oh Swamiji, we get up 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and just in time to maybe greet the sun or not greet the sun, or the sun wakes us up. And it's too late for Mangal Arti. He says, no, you should enlist in my Mangal Arti program. Mangal means auspicious. The day should begin on an auspicious note. Right? Mangalam Bhagavan Vishnam. Right? Mangalam Guru Dvaja, Mangalam Pundarikaksham, Mangala Bhagavan Mangalam Vishnu, Mangalaya Snohari, right? Nakalamirti Haranam Sarvayali Vashna. So it should start on an auspicious note. So the auspicious note is kirtan, sankirtan. Get up whenever you get up. And get all your little siblings together. Siblings means your children. Bacha. Gather your siblings, husband, wife, grandma, grandpa, etc., Chacha, Mama, Jiju, all the other characters, and collect them together and do kirtan for 5 minutes. This will be your Mangal Arti program. Everyone come together. So he's instituting this Mangal Arti program. What time? Oh, you have Mangal Arti? Yes, what time? 7 o'clock. Oh, that's very good. So this is the point that when you start this kirtan in the house, you'll see how much happiness descends into your house. Only 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening. Children, mother, everyone. So Mahaprabhu now, he's starting the sankirtan movement. This is the beginning. We write histories, and some people are interested in histories. The history of India, the history of different countries. So we are members of the Hare Krishna movement, the sankirtan movement. We are. So when did the sankirtan movement start? Well, everyone says, oh, it started 500 years ago in Navadvipa. That's the stock answer. But what are the details? How did it start? Where? How? So the Chaitanya Bhagavat is telling very minutely how it started. It started with a diksha. Sankirtan movement started with a diksha. Sri Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam. It started with the diksha from Ishwarapuri. Then he came back. And after he had got diksha from the guru, then he lost interest in material activities. This means proper diksha. If you get proper diksha, proper mantra diksha, then you get transcendental knowledge. Diksha means the receiving of transcendental knowledge by which ignorance is destroyed. Illusions are cut. Attachments are cut. This is diksha. So then Mahaprabhu, Vishwambhara came back, and the result of that diksha, that receiving that 10-syllable Gopal mantra, or Krishna mantra, from Ishwarapuri, He became so detached from his material activities. He was a professor, a Sanskrit professor in Delhi University. Right? No. Calcutta University. Calcutta University? No. Mayapur University? No. No. He was a Sanskrit professor on the banks of the Yamuna under a Kadamba tree. That was his school, a Kadamba tree. It was called a toll, T-O-L, toll. Not like toll tax. Toll tax on the road, T-O-L. That was his school. So after initiation, after Diksha, he lost interest. And he was simply telling all this Dhatu. The student said, "Oh, Mahaprabhu, can you explain the Sanskrit Dhatu? What is the meaning of Dhatu?" And he said, "Dhatu means Krishna." Of course, he gave a long dissertation, but it was all about Krishna, not about Sanskrit at all. Not about Vyakaran or anything, no grammar. So the students were quite upset with that. And finally he got to the point, "Oh, forget it," and he closed the Sanskrit school. So this is what happens. When we get Diksha, we start to lose interest in material activities and pursue the Lord. So that now he's starting the Sankirtan movement. Hari Bola Bhali Dhake Sri Sachinandan Ghanagana Pashandira Haya Jagaran. As Sri Sachinandan loudly cried out, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol!" The sleep of the atheist was repeatedly broken. Because this was the problem of the handful of Vaishnavas in Mayapur at the time, they were very much distressed. We said dukkha. Said that the sakala bhaktera dukkha nash. So what was their dukkha? Their dukkha was that all the atheists were simply absorbed in Kali Puja and lavish weddings, spending 20 lakhs, 50 lakhs on weddings, useless weddings, and just doing Durga Puja and Kali Puja and eating and enjoying and wine and women and fish and everything, and no one was worshipping the Lord, and they were being mocked at and jeered at for chanting in their Sankirtan parties. And these are all Brahmins. So many Brahmins are there. Navadvipa is a place of Brahmins. So many Brahmins, but they're all simply doing karmakanda activities. So it was very distressful to the Vaishnavas. Advaitacharya and Gadadhar and Srivas and Chandrasekhar and the other devotees, all the devotees were gathering together. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to their side, then they were so happy. And he was starting the Sankirtan. And he was loudly chanting, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol," in the middle of the night. And then what happened? The Pashandis, the non-believers, Jagaran. They were doing Jagaran. they had to stay up. And they didn't want to stay up. The atheists are always averse or against the service of Krishna, but they're always awake for sense gratification, and they're asleep for the service of Krishna. Thus they forget Krishna's service. It's like the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, right? What is the time of awakening for the self-control? Is the time of rest for the non-devotee. But due to Sachinandan's loud chanting of Harinam, their sleeping and ignorance was broken, and their hearts, which were averse to the service of Hari, became aroused and startled. So here, Lord Chaitanya is showing something very clearly. This verse shows something very clearly about the ninth offense to the holy name, Namaparad. It says that one should not preach the glories of the holy name to the Pashandis. Right? You're familiar with that? Ninth offense. Don't preach the glories of the holy name to the atheists. But there is no injunction, there's no prohibition to doing loud sankirtan to the atheists. And this is what happens. This is why we go on the streets. There's so many atheists. We go on the streets and loudly perform sankirtan, because what will happen? They're averse to the service of Krishna, but their ignorance will be broken. Just by the Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaur Nityananda Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaur Nityananda Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he's doing this, and what's happening? Their ignorance gets broken, and their hearts, which means their mind, their inclination, they were averse to Krishna Seva, now they're becoming Jagaran. This word Jagaran, what does it mean? Jagaran doesn't mean just staying awake watching TV or getting woken up. "Oh, he woke me up. Shut up. Stop this kirtan." Jagaran means jeev jago. The jeev is Jagaran. The jeev is waking up. What does it mean when a jeev wakes up? When a jiva wakes up, he becomes Krishna Das. He realizes, I am a servant. I meant to serve Krishna, not my body. I meant to serve Krishna, not this Manu Seva. I meant to do Madhava Seva, not Manu Seva. Madhava Seva is Madhava Seva. So then he becomes aroused and startled. So this is a very nice tika, Bhakti Sanatana, this word Jagran. So Lord Chaitanya is showing, yes, this is how we help the atheists, by loud sankirtan. This is the first teaching. This is the very first day, practically, the sankirtan movement. And it's having its effect, it's having its prabhav on the atheists. Lord Chaitanya is showing from his own example, whatever we're doing, we're simply following the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Whatever he did, we did. He did loud sankirtan to purify and wake up the atheists. We're doing loud sankirtan to purify and wake up the atheists. We're not preaching to them the intimate glories of the holy name, because they may become offenders. And then that will prohibit them from having access to the holy name. Nidra sukha bhange bahir mukha krudahai jaya jena mata icha bhalaya marai keha bali egulara hai laki bhai keha bali ratri nidra jaiti na pai keha bali gosani rushibe bhara dake egulara sarvanash hai be pake keha bali gyan yoga idya vichar Parmo Dattahina Savaravyabhar. When the happiness of their sleep was broken, because everyone knows how much happiness there is in sleep, right? It says, Nidra Sukha Bhange. Right? Nidra Sukha. You know about Nidra Sukha? Well, and at every morning at 3:30, something happens. Ching, 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 ching. That's called Nidra Sukha Bhange. The happiness of your sleep gets broken by your alarm clock. Bahir Mukha Kruda Hai. The atheist became Kruda, means Kroda, angry. And they blasphemed as they pleased for their own ruination. One atheist said, "What madness has come upon them?" In other words, they've all gone mad. Yena mata icha maraya. They've gone mata, they're crazy. Someone else said, "We can't sleep at night." Someone said, "Vishnu will become angry because of this loud noise, and this will result in their destruction." In other words, the point is here that it's Chaturmasya. And as you know, in Chaturmasya, Lord Vishnu, takes rest. It's Yoga Nidra, but he's taking rest. So the atheists are saying, "Hey, what's all this racket? In the middle of the night, they're making so much noise. They're going to wake up Lord Vishnu." And you know what they say. Never wake up a sleeping lion or a sleeping king. This is a basic point. You should never wake up. If the king is sleeping, you don't wake him up. Hey, cut his head off. And if some lion is sleeping and you pull his tail, a big lion, a singa is sleeping, "Hey, wake up." That's not a good idea. I don't recommend it. It's like waking up a temple commander. If you wake up a sleeping temple commander, you may have a lion on your hands. So it's not recommended. So the atheists, you know, what is this? You're waking up, they're making so much noise, they're going to wake up the king of all kings. Who is the king of all kings? Vishnu. And when they wake up Lord Vishnu from his yoga nidra, he's going to become very angry. "Hey, who wake me up? Oh, this sankirtan party, okay, destroy them." So the Pashandis are thinking, they're interesting atheists. They're atheists, but they believe in Vishnu. I mean, at least they recognize there's somebody named Vishnu. And they say that this kirtan, these foolish Brahmins making all this racket with their Akanda kirtan, are going to wake up Lord Vishnu from his nidra, yoga nidra, chaturmasya. And when the Lord wakes up, then he'll finish off these stupid Hare Krishna people. So that's their hope. But it didn't work. Another one said, Rather than cultivating knowledge, they are acting most arrogantly. In other words, he said, what are they doing? They're acting crazy, so proudly, in the middle of the night, making all this noise. Parama udhata hina sabara vyababara. Gyan yog idya vichara. They should be studying Vedanta Sutra. It's very quiet. Doesn't make any noise. If you study Vedanta Sutra, it doesn't make any noise, does it? You ever study? Doesn't make any noise. So they're saying they should. Kehabale, kisera kirtan kevajhane, etapaka koriye shivasya bhaman. Someone said, who knows what kind of kirtan they are doing? That foolish Brahmin Srivast is behind all of this. So this word is here, etapaka. Etapaka koriye shivasya bhamane. So this word pak means troublemaker. So they're saying this Brahmin, he's a troublemaker. Ever since these Hare Krishnas moved into Gari, it's really ruined the neighborhood. Always chanting Hare Krishna all the time. Can't sleep at night. So now this is what the atheists are proposing. Magya kaibara lagi milichari bhai Krishna bali dhakachari jena mahabhai. One atheist is conjecturing or saying, in order to fill their bellies by begging, these four brothers loudly call out the name of Krishna as if they were afflicted by insanity. The four brothers, I think it's Srivas and maybe he has some brothers, can't remember. Anyway, we can go on tomorrow and hear more about the atheists. There's very, very interesting dialogue. So now we've heard about the good guys. The good guy, any movie has good guys and bad guys, right? The hero and the anti-hero. So the good guys are the Hare Krishnas, as always. Hare Krishnas ki. We're the good guys, in case you didn't know. So, the good guys are happy, right? Sarva Dukha Nash. Why are they happy? Because they're doing kirtan. They're doing Krishna kirtan with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Mishra Bhavan, day and night, nishi dishi. And all their dissatisfaction, they're not worried about sleeping. This nidra sukh bhanga, they don't care. We're staying up all night chanting. Oh, great, wonderful. So the devotees, what is night for all beings is a time of awakening for the devotees. And what is a time of awakening for devotees is night for all beings. We wake up at 3, they go to sleep at 3. They come back from the bars and discos at 3 and go to sleep, and we go to Mangalarti. They go to sleep and we wake up. So there, the devotees are all happy. They're with Lord Chaitanya on the bank of the Ganga in Mayapur, the Yoga Pit, and Jagannath Mishra Bhava, and they're chanting, they're dancing throughout the day and night. Now that's the good guys. Now let's hear about the bad guys, the Pashandis. The Gnostics and Pashandis, the bad guys. What's happening to them? Your happiness is my unhappiness. You're happy staying up all night chanting, but I'm very unhappy. Ching ching bang bang, ching ching bang bang, ching ching bang bang. Boom boom boom. I can't sleep. They're making too much noise. So the atheists are very unhappy, and now we're hearing Vrindavan Das Thakur is giving their responses. We'll hear more about the bad guys tomorrow. More about the atheists and the Pashandis and Shaktas and Karmakandiya worshippers of Mayapur 500 years ago, how they responded. As from the very first day of the Sankirtan movement, there was opposition. So don't be surprised if you face opposition when you go on Sankirtan. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is God Himself. He's inaugurating this Kirtan Prakash, Sarva Dukha Nash, Sakala Vaishnava Dukha Nash. Everything was destroyed for the Vaishnavas. But on one side, all their unhappiness was destroyed, but on the other side, confrontation was building up. There's going to be a big confrontation because, as you know, it was going to acerbate and accelerate, and then the Qazi would get involved. And you know the story. So this is the beginning. It's going to get worse. So when we go on Sankirtan, book distribution of Harinam, naturally we face confrontation with the Pashandis and Gnostics. Hey, what's this book distribution? Get out from here. You can't distribute books here. This is a mall. It's illegal. Blah, 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 this, that. Stop this, Hare Krishna. You're breaking up. No one's coming in my store. You're chanting Hare Krishna in front of my store and no one's coming into my Fab India. Because everyone's driven away by your Hare Krishna. In America, they complain like that because we go down the street and we stand in front of one store. That's a big sidewalk and we stand there, 50 devotees chanting for 1 hour, 2 hours. It's legal, they can't do it. And the store owner comes out and says, get out, go, go, go. Because as long as we're chanting, no one comes in their store. Everyone runs away. Oh, Hare Krishna, let me out of here. And they run 300 miles an hour down the road. So the guy can understand. These guys have been here for 1 hour chanting and not one person has come in my store. As soon as they leave, people start walking in the store. So we like it. We like to stay there. Stop all the business. Monkey business.